Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest today is Jimmy DiResta. He's a maker, toy designer, and TV show host. He's been the host of a number of DIY shows, including Dirty Money, Trash to Cash, Against the Grain, and Hammered with John and Jimmy DiResta. He co-hosts the Making It podcast and has a fantastic YouTube channel called DiResta. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
Great. Oh, thank you very much. That sounds great.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, I want to put in a word about your YouTube channel, DiResta. YouTube /DiResta. This is something that I'm a fan of. You make something really cool in your basement Manhattan workshop.
Yep.
Once every couple of weeks or so, and instead there's no voice. You don't talk about anything. There's no music. Instead, there's a lot of speeded up versions, and you just have the speeded up sound of the machinery in operation, or you're tapping something with a hammer, and it's like the best soundtrack ever. Really cool.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Yeah, that all started. It's funny, people often ask me how that started, and when I sat down at the edit, I looked at the edit, and I'm like, I want all this information in here. But to like jump through the timeline, I'm like, well, let me just turn up the sliders. You know, in iMovie, they have the sliders. So I just slide it all up quick as possible. And then I slow it down, but there's like a key moment. And then I speed it up where it's the mundane but necessary to see how type of process. So that's really where it started, just speeding up. And then I put up a couple movies early on with like Beastie Boys soundtracks and some cool beats and stuff. And then they all got blocked and I didn't really know or understand the copyright law. So I said, let me just leave them all completely out. So that's why the sounds of the shop became the soundtrack.
You know, it strikes me that YouTube should have some function where you could slow down any part that you wanted to go through it really fast, but the watcher could slow down the parts that they wanted to slow down for extra, detail.
Yeah, it's funny. My students, I teach high school now as well, and my high school students, they're on the cutting edge of technology and Arduino, and they're amazing. I mean, they're 50 times smarter than I was 35 years ago, and they watch my videos speeded up because YouTube now gives you that option. So they watch my speeded up videos even speeded up even more. So like, think of the rate at which these young kids are like consuming information. Yeah. It's just incredible.
Now, are you still editing everything in iMovie?
I do iMovie, and then I just downloaded, about a month ago, I downloaded Final Cut on my laptop just to get myself familiar with it again, because I went away from it. I mean, the last version I had was like Final Cut 3 or 4, so it's been 10 years. So I'm starting to get back into it again. I went to it, and it was exactly the same as iMovie. I'm like, why switch now? That was a few years ago, and so I just stayed on iMovie, and now they have like the old version, which is, looks like iMovie, but it's kind of the old version where you could like tweak frames at a time. So I'm getting back into it.
So
I use them both, mostly iMovie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So let's just get right into your picks. And
thank you.
Yeah, sure. Tell me about the Revolver from SOG.
Yeah, SOG is a knife company that, I just recently did a video on my channel where I talked about my knife collection. And I went through I didn't have counted. So there maybe is 100 knives, maybe more, maybe less. And that's about 95% of my collection that I could find when I was ready to do the camera shots. And then SOG is a big part of my collection. I like SOG. They used to make really high quality knives and then they got bought and sold a couple times. And now their knives aren't so high quality, but they're good like everyday beaters. That's what I say, like an everyday knife. And I jokingly say, it's the type of knife now you can pry open a paint can with and not worry about breaking the tip off. Whereas, in the old days, you'd spend $200 on a beautiful knife and you basically keep it like a relic. But SOG makes a couple of really good utilitarian type knives. And this one, it's called the Revolver, and it literally flips in the handle. Did you guys get a chance to see it?
Yeah, it's got like it's a combo saw and knife, depending on how you flip it around.
I love that idea because it's like so something I would have invented, but I didn't. And so I kicked myself in the butt. It's basically one shank of steel that half of it is buried in the handle. And there's a pivot point right at the front forward part of the handle. And then you push a trigger and it unlocks. and you rotate the blade 180 degrees, and one half is basically a Bowie knife, and the other half is a really sharp lifetime guarantee saw. So it's perfect for a camping trip. And you could actually, that saw is really good. You could really tear it up with that saw. And like I said, it's a lifetime guarantee. So if you ever happen to accidentally cut a nail with it, you know, by accident, and that would ruin the blade, you can turn it in and they give you a new one. So wow. I have two of them. And I just went on a camping trip in the Adirondacks and I had it with me the whole time. And, you know, of course, I didn't really need to use it as much as I did. But, you know, I'm like a little kid out in the woods. I have to use the saw and have to use the knife. So it was fun.
And so I see two versions. There's the version that has orange handle and a clip. And then there's a kind of a black version. Maybe that's just that doesn't seem to have a clip, a belt clip.
Oh, yeah. I use the one that has a sheath. A black one with a sheath and has like a little rubber snap. Well, mine are a couple years old now. They may have improved them by now. I guess that, you know, they're always progressing. But mine are about 2 years old.
Okay. Yeah, the one I was looking at has kind of like a orange and black plastic handle kind of thing. So it might be a different edition. So Jimmy, I don't think I've ever seen you without a cap on.
That's funny.
Yeah, you like caps. And so... You have a cap that's got a light built into it, like an LED or something?
Yeah, that's the power cap.
Is that a brand name or a...
I think so. You know, it's one of those inventions that when it comes out, everyone's like, why didn't we think of that? And so everybody knocks it off. So it's power cap is the one that I happen to see most often. And the best quality ones have been available from Cabela's. And it kills me because I use them up to the point where I just go and buy a new one. You can change the batteries, but when you buy these four button cell batteries, they cost as much as buying the whole new hat. So I always just go buy a new hat if I'm in the vicinity. So, and usually, so just again, to explain, like this technology to, is always improving. Yeah.
Well, to explain to the people, it's a baseball hat
a baseball cap
with LEDs under the brim.
Yep.
That are shining down.
Shining down and forward. Sometimes they have two that shine down in some cases, and sometimes there's one that shines forward. Sometimes there's only one. You know, this, like I said, all the knockoffs are out there now. So, you know, you get what's available where you are. Home Depot sells a version, and then so does Lowe's. They sell a version, and Cabela sells a version. It's been out for a while now, and everybody kind of knows me as the guy that always has the camouflage light-up cap.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a version that has a solar cells on the top of the brim. So
that's cool.
So it recharges them. And I use that camping. So you wear it during the day, and you're charging the batteries, and then you flick it. There's a little switch, and then you have the two LEDs during the night. Have you tried that one? That one's that one came from New Zealand somewhere. It was someone sent it to me long ago. And I've been using it for 3 or 4 years.
We just went camping, as I mentioned, and we stopped at like a EMS on the way out into the woods, and right next to the cash register was this impulse buy. It was a little blow up, like cylindrical clear plastic inflatable, and it had this flat little battery pack with solar panels on the back, and it had like a little ring of LEDs, so you could like deflate it, and it packs flat like a wallet, and when you get to your tent, you could blow it up, and it basically becomes a nice area light, so it has that solar panels on the top, just as you were talking about. So on our drive, I made sure it was in the dashboard. It soaked up enough energy, and it stayed lit both nights.
That's really cool.
And so the version of the power cap that you like is this, is it called Panther Vision?
Right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, you guys are good on the internet. my computer's running so slow, I'm not even going to attempt to lock it up.
and so to adjust the light, you just kind of like move the brim around a little, tilt the cap back on your head or forward as you need?
Yep. I'll tell you guys a funny story how I discovered this. Maybe it's been 4 or 5 years ago since I first saw this product. I have a 40-acre farmhouse in the Catskills, and every fall I let a few of my friends hunt on the property, and they usually get up there when I'm not around. And this one particular weekend, I said, "Guys, you're going to be there when I'm there. So when you come out of the woods, I'll be at the house." And so, "Oh, cool." So I was sitting on the back back porch, and way, way out in the woods, I'm talking like maybe 300 yards, 400 yards away, I see, now it's dusk, and I see a little white light walking in the woods, and I'm like, oh, that must be the guys. And then as the light gets closer and closer and closer, I'm realizing it's two little dots on the top of this guy's hat. And I'm like, what? What is that? I was so intrigued. And then as it gets closer, it's the very first time I ever saw one of these caps with the two little LEDs. And I immediately went out to Cabela's and I bought it. So, and ever since then, I've been, I have 30 of them. They're like stuffed in the crevice of my truck. I'm the worst. I if I like something, I buy 10 of them because I'm always afraid I'm going to lose them and then they'll not make them anymore.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
which does great. Happen an awful lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds like a good one. So, You picked as a tool an ice pick. Is there a particular one that you like? Or is it the one you built that you
the
made?
The ones I always make, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's funny because I must have made 10 of them by now in my own particular fashion. You could obviously use any particular ice pick. But I'll go back about 4 or 5 years ago. My girlfriend she's a clothing designer, and we were in the garment district in New York. And I was at a cash register with her in a zipper store. And right, they have all these little doodads that you would use for making clothes, and they had a little display with an awl, you know, like maybe like a 3-inch awl with like a little 6-sided aluminum handle. It's a really sexy little tool. So it was $2, so I picked it up, and I didn't have anywhere to put it, so I kind of pinned it in and out of my jeans, which my jeans are all the consumable. It's like another consumable in my shop of my jeans. So I just pinned it in and out, and so this awl was always pinned, and so I decided to just keep it with me because it became – I started playing with it and, you know, cleaning my nails with it, and then I could scratch out the dirt out of something, and I could, you know, poke at something. If I drop something between a crevice, I could poke it and get it back. So I began to find more and more uses for this awl, and it was pinned in and out of my pants from time to time. Occasionally I'd get near somebody and it would poke them, and then they would scream and they'd be like, what the hell is that? And I go, I'm sorry. The awl is stuck through my pants. And mostly my girlfriend was the victim of that. She'd come walk nearby me and that would poke the back of her hand. So I made a sheath for another one. So I went in my junk drawer and pulled out an ice pick. And I made a sheath out of a brass tube with a ring on the end of it. And I made my own 6-sided handle out of a chunk of brass. And I started playing with it and just using them in my videos. And then I made a video of me making the first one. And people write me all the time. They're like, you know, I never thought of carrying an ice pick or an awl as often as I do now since you started doing it. And it's incredibly useful. So people always say, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to kill somebody? Are you going to? I'm like, no, it's a tool. And if you carry one for a couple of days in your shop, you're going to begin to realize how often you'll reach for it.
Yeah.
So that's what I tell everybody. I said, just start to carry one, and you begin to realize how often you need it. And to keep it sexy and smooth, I put a thin little handle on it.
Right, right. So. Yeah, I carry a plastic box cutter knife in my pocket. It weighs nothing. It's 99 cents. And when I started doing it, suddenly I was using it 5 times a day, every day, even though I work in an office. You know, I mean, I work in front of a computer. But I was using this thing every day. Now, all my kids, they always know that I have one, so they're always borrowing it. And before that, before carrying around every day, I would never imagine that it was even possible to find them carrying an ice pick, a little tiny thing around. You would, because you'd have it, you suddenly would use it.
Yeah, it's kind of a procrastination buster too, having a tool like that. I do that with the snap blade knife, Kevin, on your recommendation, and it's like, you, if you need to do something, you have it there, and then you don't put it off. It's really a good thing to have around.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy, kind of along the same lines, your other pick is a tactical pen.
Oh, yeah. I always carry a tactical pen on me. And, you know, the main reason why is because if you buy a $25 pen or a $30 or a $50 pen, you're not as quick to lose it. If you carry around
a tactical pen? What does that mean, a tactical pen?
A tactical pen is just it's like a shank of steel or most often aluminum, and it has it's knurled, so it kind of looks like a militaristic type of. It's just basically imagine like a thick chunky pen, and it typically has like a point on one side, so you know it's meant for self defense. But I carry it most often because, like I said, it just looks cool with my gear. It's just the cool everyday carry because it looks good. The one I happen to have has a handcuff key, so if you unscrew the very back of it, you have a handcuff key. So I always say, in case I get locked up, I could unhandcuff myself. That's and cool. Run out from the back of the police car, as long as they don't take my pen before I sit down. And the main reason I like it is because, like I said, if you carry around a $35 pen or a $25 pen, you're not as quick to lose it. If you walk out of the house and you have a pencil or a Bic pen, in 10 minutes you've given it to somebody or you lost it or you don't care. But if you carry around a tactical pen, it just becomes like a semi-precious item that you're going to constantly remember, oh, I lent that person my pen, give it back to me when you're done. And so that's really the main reason I like it, because it looks good with my gear and it's not something I would leave behind.
Do you have a particular brand that you recommend?
No, you know what's funny? I had a really cool one from Smith & Wesson. You know, it's just like a licensed piece of junk, honestly. It was just a cool piece of shape piece of aluminum. It wasn't anything special. And I know Smith & Wesson licenses that name to everybody, so they probably don't even exist in the same shape anymore. But I lost it, and I was kind of bummed when I lost it. It fell out of my pocket or something. And so I went on Amazon and I just bought like 10 of them. I bought like $200 worth of them in all different brands and every brand. And that's where I found the one with the handcuff key, which I happen to like the most.
Is that the Uzi, the one with the handcuff key?
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It looks like it says Uzi. Wait, yeah. You guys are good. You guys do your research. And so, yeah, so I got that on Amazon. I bought a couple of those. I've already lost two of them. I lose everything. That's why I buy them in multiples.
Plenty of,
but I thought the whole point was that you wouldn't lose them.
No, well, I lose them because they fall out of my pocket, not because I ride a Vespa around the city. And again, when I recently did my knife thing, I talked about, I showed about 7 or 8 Leathermen that are all broken in one form or another or worn out. And I said, as many as I'm showing you is as many as I've lost, maybe even more. Because when you ride a motorcycle, things jiggle out of your pocket and they fall off your belt. And if you ever see my EDC, I carry like 25 things with me in a day. So it's hard for me to keep track of every single thing.
We should do a what's in your bag with you then.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, we do a series.
Oh, you know what? I did one with Gareth.
With Gareth Branwen?
I did one with Gareth during Maker Faire, which I have that video. I have to post it.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. I'll talk to Gareth.
He just offhandedly, somebody in the audience said, what's in your pocket?
Cool.
So I forgot about that video. I have to post that. Yeah, so it was a funny. He did a little Q&A with me, and he might have took your place. Wasn't I supposed to see you in San Fran?
Yeah, that's right. I didn't make it to so.
Yeah, so someone in the audience said, what's in your pockets now? So I pulled out like 20 things and I kept saying, oh yeah, oh, and this, and everybody was giggling. And I drove there, so I had all my knives and stuff. I didn't fly.
Well, cool. Wow, that's a long drive.
You drove to the Maker Faire from New York?
Yeah, we drove from New York across San Francisco and then down to LA and back through the South. It was a lot of fun.
That sounds great.
Do you have any favorite car tools that you, or you know, car riding tools that you used on that long, long trip? Or camping tools?
Well, you know, I always keep a hatchet in the truck, and a long. I always keep a hatchet, and actually, I have in my car at any given time. I have a couple of hammers. I have a sledgehammer. I have an axe, a hatchet. You know, really long flashlight, like the police. You just never know. I carry a million tools with me all the time. No matter where I go. The worst thing for me is to have to go to a wedding because I have to decide. I have to pare down my everyday carry to like one thing.
I would imagine the worst thing for you is get onto an airplane.
Yeah, that's why I drive everywhere. I hate flying.
Do you know about the util key?
I think so. There's lots of keys now that are like kind of like spin out of handles and stuff, and a lot of that started in the 90s. I mean, I was one of the first ones that I know of that started like modding keys, and then a lot of people started modding keys that like fit inside Leatherman handles and stuff. It's sort of like a, you know, it was a groundswell of the key
this
invention.
This was actually the first cool tool reviewed was the utility key, which is this little key that slides off of your key ring and it turns into a blade. There's a blade.
Oh.
On it.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of something.
So what it is it's a knife that you can take through TSA.
Oh, cool.
And it works. I mean, for a while they were kind of noticing it, but now they really don't look for it that much. And it's very sharp, and so it's a way for me to have a knife at least somewhere on me, even though I'm flying.
Yeah, there's.
Well, you know what I used to do? It probably wouldn't pass the TSA, but I used to always keep just a flat razor blade in my wallet just in case I needed it for anything. And I'm not talking about hurting somebody, but because I'm from New York, everybody always assumes I'm like a mafioso, like looking to put someone down. No, but I would always keep
carry
it like
a flat razor.
Well, I spent a lot of time in the Catskills, so You never know when there's going to be like a down tree and I need to save the day.
So, Jimmy, one thing I just wanted to let listeners know about your YouTube channel. It's just YouTube / Jimmy Diresta, all one word. You've started something, I think, earlier this year called Jimmy's Tips.
That's right.
So that's in addition to your just your cool build videos. You have these actual videos where you show people things like using a bandsaw, using hot glue, and stuff like that. What other things have you covered in your tips videos?
Well, it's funny. Me and David, who's my he's been my shop assistant for many years, and he's starting to make his own videos. And so he kind of pushed me into doing the tips. So he's the producer of the tips videos. We sit down every once in a while, and we try and like categorize things. We try and like group things together. So we recently had like tape and adhesives. So we broke those into two episodes. We haven't shot tapes yet, but like when we go through the things, I'm like, if we have like a good 10 or 15, maybe even 20 good tips on a subject, that'll be standalone episodes. So we went through crazy glue, adhesives, and that kind of stuff, and we made that its own episode, and we pulled out tape. So there's so many tricks that I do. I've been doing this my whole life, so there's so many little dumb things that I don't even think about. So that's why David's good for me, because he'll stand at the side and say, look, you just did that. That's a tip. I'm like, what did I do? He's like, you just did that. I'm like, oh, wow. I didn't even realize I did it. So that's how like by rote my daily routine is like, I'm not even paying attention to the things that I do. And so we just started breaking up into the little episodes. Like one that I like the most is geometry, and how so many people get caught up with numbers and math and those little lines on the rulers between the numbers. They don't even know what they're called. Mm-hmm. Those are called fractions of an inch. Mm-hmm. And so I take out all the, thinking.
Besides your own videos, are there that you follow in terms of like either talking about tips or cool tools that you, a YouTube video series that you really enjoy watching yourself?
Oh yeah, I always ask people that same question. I love to know what other people are watching. I like welding tips and tricks, because welding is something that I'm not a pro at, but you know, my welding is suitable for the things that I do. But welding tips and tricks, Jody Collier, he's amazing. He's like exact, like he's such a good welder, and he's a good welding teacher as well. So his videos are pretty on point.
That's cool. He's got 342 videos about welding. Wow, that's like
And
deep knowledge.
Yeah, wow. And he's a pro. He's like top-notch pro, you know, involved with all types of, you know, schools and stuff. And he's a nice guy. You'll find a lot of professional welders are very, very conceited, and they feel like they possess something that nobody else can attain. And he's not like that. He's open and honest and interesting to listen to, and super nice. And, you know, we've chatted privately, and he's been nothing but a gentleman and a nice guy.
And who else do you watch?
I love Frank Hallworth. He's just a straightforward, practical thinker and inventor of great imagery. I tell my students, I'm like, don't forget that you invent images as well as, you know, that you might not invent practical mechanical things, but you invent images and you invent, you know, graphic design. So I think Frank is, he's an inventor of both images and also good mechanical solutions to problems. And then, of course, Matthias Wendel, who's insane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he's amazing.
He's like the grandfather.
Guy.
Yeah, he's like the grandfather of YouTube. He's amazing.
He's the grandfather in what way? I'm not familiar with him.
Oh, he's been around probably. Well, he's the one person I personally have been following the longest that I remember. His videos show up quite a bit when you do searches for like all oddball things. He's done like marble mazes, and he does a lot of geared mechanism things. And he'll imitate, like, for instance, like a counter, like, you know, like a three-wheel counter that counts up to 999. He made one of those big just to see how that mechanics works. And he mostly always works in wood, because it's probably the simplest, easiest thing for him to do in the time frame of shooting a video.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff. So Jimmy, what's your next thing that you're working on for your next video?
Well, I'm doing a book with Brian and John over at the Make Publishing, and I have so many paid jobs to do, and I have so many videos to do for that book. So I'm trying to mix it all together.
What's the book about?
It's going to be about we're going to just cover different materials in the videos. So I'll do maybe 12 videos, and we're going to basically break out those videos into written word and discuss the philosophy of the book is basically open source inventing. That's kind of, mm-hmm. I don't know if that doesn't make any sense in out of context of what John and I talked about, but the idea is like, you know, sort of make do with what you have, be inventive, and I want to try and impart all that. So one thing I don't really do is discuss exactly what I'm thinking when I'm making my videos. Mm-hmm. So the book is going to basically be the written word to that. So as the videos get published, I'm also doing a voiceover version, and that's what John is using to transcribe, and then we're also going to do interviews. John Batel, am I saying his name right? Do you know John?
John Batel.
Oh, Bactel. Bactel.
Yeah. Yeah, and Brian Jepson. So we're working on that. It's a little bit slow going. They're probably frustrated with me because I keep getting well-paying client jobs that keep jumping in the way. So,
what do you do for your clients?
I do a lot of just sort of custom. Lately, I've been doing a lot of custom marketing builds, things that are going to be on display to market liquor. So I've been doing a lot of liquor business builds for Diageo, all the Diageo brands. Mm-hmm. And that involves like Crown Royal and Bullet Bourbon and those guys. So I'm actually today.
And what's the build? What are you building? So I have a picture in my mind.
Sure. Well, today I started building a black pipe bar cart. So it's like black pipe frame with like vintage wood, and then it's going to have a sign that says Bullet Bourbon written in like little light bulb lights, you know, like ping pong ball lights. So it's going to look kind of classic, a little rustic, a little classic, little vaudevillian.
Cool.
So we discuss the designs, and then I go to work on them. And then I always videotape anything that's interesting. So they don't necessarily expect a video, but they always get one.
Wonderful.
That sounds good. Well, Jimmy, this has been really fun talking to you, catching up.
Oh, thank you.
And learning about what you're up to. So do you recommend that people go to jimmydiresta.com and that's where they can like find out about your YouTube channel, the shows you've worked on, all that stuff?
Yeah, jimmydiresta.com is definitely a portal into my life, but I also always recommend people just Google my name, Jimmy Diresta.
Yeah, that's always the best way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, I always say Google makes the best website of me. So
yeah, that's cool. I just want to remind our listeners that you can find links to all of Jimmy's tools and our show notes about his tool picks at cool-tools.org. Jimmy, this has been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.